Darker Than Blue by Willis and Shante, who will be performing Saturday, May the 25th, 2013 at 4 o'clock p.m. at the Peace Center on the campus of USC, celebrating Memorial Day weekend. We will hear more about that event during our community calendar. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, coming at you from Skid Row Studios. Our call-in number is 800-893-9562. Listen to us live, or you can download our show and past shows by Googling in skidrow.la and hit Qumran Report. Now, here in the studio with me this week is military veteran Horace Jordan and actor and community activist Lee Shaw. And this week we'll be talking about military veterans in the Skid Row community, and also we'll be hearing from some college students from UCLA who visited the Skid Row community last month. Now, on Wednesday, April the 24th, 2013, some students from UCLA visited the Skid Row area as part of the Urban Service and Emergence experienced by Pastor Brian Eklund, and they had a chance to talk about their experience. I would like to play a portion of that interview. It's 3 minutes and 31 seconds long.
Let's start off with Pastor Brian.
For those of you who may not know me, I'm a retired. I retired from a church, from one of the local churches in South Central. And since I have retired, I'm just committed to consciousness raising amongst folks. I like folks to see the side of LA that they don't always get to see. You know, the vitality, I know Skid Row, this is impression, but I love the vitality and energy here. Same throughout South LA, and these guys already know that I'm excited to forget about our part of the world, a different part of the world. And I was blessed a few number of years back to run into the Dharma Station in Rob, and just have this ongoing friendship relationship with him. And I know that you all just do such a great job of opening your hearts and spirits to those of us that are from here and say, here's who we are. So, glad to be here. And this is a group that's all from UCLA.
And what we try to do, you know, we also have internet radio show at Skid Row Studio called the Qumran Report. Qumran was the community where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls at the community of Jesus, John the Baptist. So that's where we took that name, because we always felt that that was the best example of a community. And so what we like to do, we like to put the first part on the radio like we did to students last week. And so I like to go around and get the name of each student, the director, and I start here. And tell us your name and what you
Tiffany Doe, but call me Tito. Third year anthropology major. I'm the director of all ASB programs, but Tina is the director of this site in particular.
Okay, I'm Layla, and I'm a third year econ major, and that's it.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Megan. I'm a third year art history major.
Hi, I'm Tina. I'm a third-year human bio and society major, and I'm the site coordinator for Downtown LA.
Oh, one great job.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm a second-year police econ major.
I'm Gloria. I'm a first-year electrical engineering major.
Hi, my name is Anne, and I'm a second-year psychobiology major.
Hi, I'm Sonia. I'm a third-year studying Spanish and literature.
I am Kavita, and I'm a fourth-year physiological science major.
Wow. I'm Brian with New City Parish.
My name is Laura. I'm a second-year student at UCLA.
My name is Michael. I'm an English and Chicano studies major.
My name is Paulina. I'm a third-year political science major. Andrea Ross, Drama Stage Qumran.
Lee Shaw, member of Drama Stage Qumran.
And Pastor Tony Stallworth, here at Central City Community Church.
Earl Anthony, Drama Stage.
Horace Jordan, just helping out Tony.
Gary Carr, active member of Central City Community.
Okay, that's students from UCLA visiting the Skid Row community. And I'm delighted to have with us in the studio military veteran Horace Jordan and actor community activist Lee Shaw. Welcome to the Qumran Report. Okay, Horace Jordan, I want to start off with you. Can you tell us a little about yourself and then your military experience?
Okay, I was in the United States Navy. I went in 1982, and I stayed in for 2.5 years, and I did 2 West Packs, and it was a good experience.
So would you grew up out here in Los Angeles?
Yes, mm-hmm. Born and raised in Los Angeles. 5 other brothers and sisters. And, born and raised in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. How did you come in contact with the Skid Row community?
Okay, I got out of the military in, like I said, in 84. And shortly thereafter, I was introduced to rock cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, about maybe 4 or 5 years later, I ended up downtown.
Mm-hmm.
On Skid Row.
Let me ask you, so when you was growing up here in Los Angeles, did you know anything about the Skid Row area, or had you
not Skid Row, no. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about Skid Row.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had actually lived down here maybe for a couple of years before I actually found out what Skid Row was all about. I never came down to Skid Row.
Mm-hmm. What is the biggest challenge for a military veteran who find themselves homeless in the Skid Row area?
I would say the number one thing is staying connected spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have so much opposition when you decide to get on the right track spiritually, you're going to face a lot of opposition, especially down here. So I would say that would be the biggest obstacle. But even with that, that's all to strengthen us in the long run. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily a bad thing if we handle it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think, what's the role of the church in the Skid Row area? How do you see the role of the church in terms of sitting here in the recovery zone?
For me, it has been essential. With Pastor Tony, it's basically helped turn my life around. Just mm-hmm. having a church that I could go to on a weekly basis and Bible studies and just staying connected spiritually, it's what's helped me to get back on the right track and stay on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Lee, what do you think, Mr. Lee Shaw?
They need more churches down here. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Because I passed through Church of the Nazarenes. I passed through, and there's a lot of people up in there. You know what I'm saying? It's like almost standing room in times when I passed through there. And they need to just have more spiritual outlets than some of the other things that go on down there, you know? Because mm-hmm. knowing that God is all-powerful, right, and is able to inspire the human being mm-hmm. to a higher level, you need more churches.
Mm-hmm.
You need more places like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because, one, a lot of people don't have a spiritual side. They lost connection with the spiritual side. Now they just running rampant. They just, you know, they're on their own. Because inside of you is a voice. And if you listen to that voice, so that's not just coming from no human being, mm-hmm. right? But the more you deny that voice, the it goes down. It'll say, stop, stop, mm-hmm. stop. And you just press it out, you know what I'm saying? But the church will keep it up. Mm-hmm. Keep it up. Keep things going. That's probably the only positive thing they got going down here. You know? And I'm not shaking the missions because they have the church up in the, you know, they have church there too. But it's not like when you want to go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You driving yourself over to the church. You walking over to the church because you want to go, not because just there and it's just something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if you count the number of people downtown, right, you don't even probably maybe 5-10% mm-hmm. of them go to church on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you got different religions and way of life and all. So we need to have something that's going to help everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not a Muslim. Everybody's not a Christian. I mean, you know, in that respect, as far as the Baptist, you know, Lutheran or whatever it is, or the Catholic, you know what I'm saying? But they need to have a West available to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the west side of Main Street. Not in some big old place. They need it right there. Because they are human beings, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Because we know just a little while ago they had the concept that they call realignment.
Yeah.
In which they let a lot of nonviolent offenders out of the California penal mm-hmm. system. And because of the resources that's in the recovery zone in the Skid Row area, a lot of them end up down in that Skid Row mm-hmm. area. Now, that means that you have a big mixture down there. You got people coming from prison, people that fall from the community that enter down there, people that's in programs down there. Mm-hmm. Now, how do the people that's in programs, how do they deal with all of this element down there? What kind of advice that you, the best chance of working their recovery program, why they have to be down there and have all of these elements around?
One. You don't allow yourself to start wondering. See, if you think about walking around, go and get some air, you're setting yourself up. You might as well just do the same things you did when you was in, you know, other places in lockup or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. and stay in, right? Mm-hmm. And go where you and do the necessary things. You know, if you got some business, handle your business. Go back up in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I've been in there. And I had to literally put my head down on the 53 bus coming from 56 and Central, because I got an urge inside of me, and I kept praying, and I put my head down. I wouldn't look up. I didn't look up till I got to Pico,
mm-hmm.
and that's when I felt the relief
for going through that area.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because all this stuff, this is where I hang out at. This is I know people at. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And all that right there, you get an urge just to, you know, just go back. I put my head down and I prayed. Mm-hmm. From the time I got on that bus, I didn't look up. That's you know what I did. When the thing said Pico, I looked up and I felt the relief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm out of this area. So when you're in there, you know, the best thing for you to do is stay in there. And if you got business to handle it. And if you can't, take somebody with you when you're handling it. Because mm-hmm. you know, the devil talks to you all the time. He talks to you and he don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so them cats, you know, if they want to make the program work, yeah,
mm-hmm.
do what you're supposed to do. And stay put.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but let me ask something. Did you want to have a few comments, anything like that, George?
Anything particular you want me to comment on?
Okay, let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on the women and children in the Skid Row? We've seen so many come in there in the past few years.
You know, I would just say it has to really be tough. It has to really be tough, especially on the kids, and maybe they don't really know what's going on now, but it has to affect them in a way. It has to affect them. You know, it has to be difficult. You know, it's difficult on men. So I know it has to be difficult on the females down there, especially if they have children. But at the same time, they have to even look at that, I think, as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's still an opportunity, you know, if they get in, like, the mission, or they have a couple of other programs down there for women, and just decide that that's what they want to do, and they're going to do it no matter what. There's a lot of opportunities down there
mm-hmm.
to get your life back on the right track. So mm-hmm. it just has to be, just make a decision, and they mm-hmm. can do it.
Now, let me ask this. How about a person that their addiction is different? Just say someone is dealing with alcohol or cocaine or heroin or something like that, but especially alcohol as opposed to something like cocaine. Should that program be different? the program that they set up to deal with it? What are your thoughts on that?
Addiction is addiction. It don't matter if it's gambling, sex, or whatever it is. It's still an addiction,
mm-hmm.
and you handle it in the same way
mm-hmm.
that you handle any, you know, that because even they got the, what they call it, Gamblers Anonymous, but they still go out to Big Book, right? Because it's the thing is still the same. It's an addiction. Yeah, the concept, you know, hey, it's still an addiction no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you stuck on something you can't get away from, you drooling at the mouth or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, it's still the same. Mm-hmm. It's an addiction.
Now, John, how about for a military veteran? Is it a connection in their background, their military service, a lot of times that is tied into their addiction?
Well, not for me. Mm-hmm. Not for me it wasn't. Because, you know, mine didn't really start until after I got out of the military.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I'm in a program right now, a two-year program for veterans. And I'm going to tell you something, man. It's the probably the best thing that has happened to me in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's given me an opportunity to just have my own little space. They give me my own room, give me three meals a day, and basically just say, you know, I just want you to save a certain amount of your money every month. You can come and go as you please. And as Lee was saying, I don't have to be out there on the streets unless I have a reason to be out there. I don't have any problem going up to my room, watching a movie. I love being in my room. It gives me a chance to just get some peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can get on my knees and pray, and I can be away from all the drama. So I've been there for like going on 9 months now, man. It's just like it's made a big difference in my life just by the fact that I have my own little space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we make more veterans? Because it's a lot of veterans, a lot of homeless veterans in the Skid Row area. How do we make them aware of all the programs and things that's available to them?
Okay, well, I would say if there are veterans that really want to get help,
mm-hmm.
it's not really hard to find. Mm-hmm. If they really want to get help and want to turn their life around, just start asking questions and they'll be led. There's a number of programs downtown just for veterans,
mm-hmm.
at least three or four that I know of, you know, long-term programs. So if that's what a person really wants, I think they can find it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask Jordan a question. Do they have an advocate up in the different programs, a veterans advocate?
The one that I'm in, no, we just have case managers. We have case managers, but I'm pretty sure the other programs that are around do have advocates.
Yeah, because it's like anywhere else you go, you know, like this thing they had at the county jail where they sent the veterans out there to Linwood,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, because
separate them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, though the programs down here geared towards the addictions and solutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it should be up in there as well. It should be. They should have somebody in there to tell them exactly what, you know, what's going on with the veterans. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I remember once I walked with Mary Louise mm-hmm. down through there to go to the different missions, you know, and to tell her, is any veterans in here? Is there any veterans? And she went on 1-1-1-1-1. You know, I mean, they didn't too much care about her, you know, some of the guys, because they didn't know what was going on anyway. But she used to work there at the midnight, I think, believe she worked there too.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I know more about this place than you do. But she just wanted to let the veterans know, this is what, you know. And I thought that they all should have a place in there. Just like you got a case manager, you should also have a veterans advocate up in there to let the people know exactly what they got coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Now, Jordan, when should a veteran that's in these like two-year programs, do they also think about they're planning for the future?
Oh, getting absolutely.
Out of, yeah,
absolutely. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would be a disaster for a person to stay someplace for 2 years and then not have an exit plan.
Yeah,
you know, they do have like VASH and things like that, but I mean, to be real with you, the main thing for me, besides saving my money, is it's working on myself. You know, that's the most important thing. You know, mm-hmm. It's an inside job. Mm-hmm. Of course, saving money, that's important, because when we leave, we're going to need something to, you know, get us started when we get out there, to get us our place, to furnish our place. I want to drive out of there. So mm-hmm. saving money is important. But even more important than that, I mean, I have to address the issues that got me in the position that caused me to be homeless in the first place. And if those issues aren't addressed, then it's a good chance that I'm going to end up going through the same things that got me there in the first place. So mm-hmm. so that's been the number one thing for me, addressing mm-hmm. those issues that caused me to be in the position that I'm in the first place.
Mm-hmm. How much is economics tied into those issues? You know, the money and resources and like that.
That caused me to be?
Yeah.
It wasn't a lack of money. It wasn't anything like that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that. I mean, you know, making money really wasn't the issue. The issue was a lot of times what I did with the money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lee, what are your thoughts on that? Is money just a byproduct? You know, there's so many people that end up down on the Skid Row area, you know, losing their job.
Yeah, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the number, what Skid Row was, say, the number of homeless people was in, let's say, 1980, right? And this is 2013. What's the numbers between that? And what happened between that? Mm-hmm. Between that time, right? Mm-hmm. We know that from 2000, let's say 2006, into 2006, 2007, on up to now, people was losing their jobs like it was dripping water out of a leaky pipe. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just losing them. And of course, these people had things they had worked for years, trying to get a home, you know, for their wife and their children, you know what I'm saying? Something they can grow up in a good environment. But instead, mm-hmm. they wind up with some, what you call them? People are putting these shenanigans on them financially, right? Causing them to get down here. Because mm-hmm. you ain't got no money. You're going to have to go somewhere. You're going to have to get, and everything's down here. Mm-hmm. So you can get a place. Actually, you can get a room, or you can get a free meal. You know, you can get you a meal. You know what I'm saying? And like they were saying before, mm-hmm. You have your mind, you know, you're going to look for out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the next thing, the pain comes into the mind. And the next thing you know, you're drinking yourself, smoking crack cocaine, or shooting heroin, or doing something, you just to release the pain. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them just, you know, and you was talking about the children. This is a sad thing that a child has to grow up in downtown Los Angeles on Skid Row. And in his mind, this is all it is. You know what I'm saying? You're crippling young children. Mm-hmm. Right? And another thing, person go to Vietnam or Korea, Vietnam, right? Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, right? Call himself serving his country, right? Now, when we get out of the military, right? All we do is get a pat on the back, get out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? No treatment for the wars that you've been in. Because they told you how to kill. They taught you how to kill, right? But they don't never give you nothing to teach you. You're going back into the environment now, to the world, right? And they give you no tools to deal with the world with. That's just like letting somebody come from, Iraq or Iran or anywhere in the mm-hmm. world. Come here. You know what they get when they get here? Culture shock. Because most of those countries don't have the same things. You jump mm-hmm. off the plane. Say if you were a Muslim, you come over here from the Middle East somewhere, Egypt, and you get off the plane, you know what I'm saying, and all of a sudden you see a woman, and she got a miniskirt on. I ain't never seen, you know.
Yeah.
Liquor stores on every corner. People pulling mm-hmm. all kinds of little tricks. You know what I'm saying? Nobody gives you nothing for mm-hmm. for you serving your country, and that's a shame. That is a shame right there, man. And if you go back, I say, we have to go back and do a forecast, more or less, right? And all these killings and different things have been jumping off. 65 to 70% of them was military veterans. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
We're flipped out. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's real important for. Let me just speak for myself. It's real important for me to accept responsibility. Okay, I didn't just end up on Skid Row I didn't just end up because of, you know what I'm saying? I did some specific things to get on Skid Row. And until I accept responsibility for that and get out of the problem and into the solution, I'm not going to grow. Mm-hmm. It's real important that I figure out, okay, what was it? What part did I play in it? It's real easy to say, okay, all of these things happened to me, which caused me to be on Skid Row. Mm-hmm. And that's not really accepting responsibility. Mm-hmm. And until I accept responsibility for my actions, no matter what has happened to me, I'm not going to get into the solution. I'm going to always be into the problem. Well, this happened to me, and that happened to me, and this happened to me, and that happened to me. That's why I'm here on Skid Row.
Mm-hmm.
That's not accepting responsibility. And until I learn how to accept responsibility and look at what I did to get here and what I can do to get out, I'm not really going to grow.
Mm-hmm. And is that the starting point?
I wanted to ask a question.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You lose your job. You got 6 kids and a wife, right? You're the sole person taking care of this family. Mm-hmm. They snatch your job from you. Your house go. You're homeless and your 6 kids is homeless. We try to get our relatives to take, you know, a couple of the kids if they can, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go somewhere, right? Now, me and the wife probably can fend for our own self, you know, some. But how do you take that? I mean, how do you, what did I do to lose the job?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, they just gave me a pink slip one day. And my whole life turned upside down. Everything, all my dreams went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
There's some pain in that somewhere, and I didn't cause the pain, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And if the pain is so great, you know what I'm saying? You ever had a toothache? You had to take something, take a whole bottle of Excedrin, whatever it is you got to take, right, to get rid of this pain in your mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Okay, well, and you know, the latter part of our show, we're going to talk about some solutions too.
Yeah,
before we move into the community calendar, let me ask something else about an observation that we talked about last week. Los Angeles is about 9, maybe 10% African Americans, but Skid Row is probably, you know, they estimate about 70% African American, maybe a little bit higher than that. What are some of the connections that caused the huge amount of African Americans to end up in Skid Row?
They recycle people, you know. And like I say, you know, you accept the responsibility for what you did, but you all also have to accept that the other people had something to do with it.
And when you say recycle people, man, like people on parole, that go through the system,
they go in,
come out.
They go in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And then with this thing with the realignment deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they sit back and say, okay, the federal government said, you got to let these many people out, right? Now I come back around and say, most of these people going back in prison again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the state of California going to say? I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you want to say something about that?
I think there was an explosion of people that came to Skid Row in the late 80s. A lot of African Americans, and a lot of that had to do, a lot of that was a result of the cocaine epidemic, the cocaine mm-hmm. that was put on the streets of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the people downtown are there. I'm talking about the majority, not specific cases. The majority of the people, I think, are downtown because of serious issues. A lot of them are substance abuse related.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that had played a big part in what we see now, going all the way back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Let me ask you, Los Angeles have a huge Hispanic population and also have a huge Asian population. Why you think you don't see that many Asians down in the Skid Row area? And a huge amount of Hispanic, but why you don't see that many Asians?
You know, one, you if you look at it, family, right?
Mm-hmm.
The connection, right? A community of their own, right? When you cross certain areas, you see this is Koreatown, this is Chinatown, this is whatever town. You know what I'm saying? And they're able to get help from their family, extended family. right? And so they group themselves together economically, right? It's something that black folk, that African Americans don't do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard. If you're looking for a job, a joker will be sitting right next to you, and they hire people. You know, they need 10 people. They wouldn't tell you nothing.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you both for this before we go into the community calendar in a minute. I want to know, what would you think these two individuals, just say they could come back and visit Skid Row, what would their response be? First, Dr. King.
All this work done for nothing. All of it done for nothing. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to follow Jesus, then follow him all the way. Don't get in the way, right? And that's what a lot of them do. They get in the way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They turn. If they sit there. Now, how can you tell me that you follow the Messiah Jesus, right? When you let something like this go on, right? And you have the power to stop it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What would you think Dr. King would be?
He just lost me on that. I don't know what that had to do with Jesus. But.
Yeah. No, I'm talking to the preacher.
Okay.
He said Dr. King.
Yeah.
Right? You did say Dr. King, right?
Yeah.
And Dr. King is what?
He's a preacher.
Okay.
He's a preacher.
Yeah. He follows what?
He follows a Christian faith.
But that wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
That wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
He can't say, people are going to do what they want to do anyway. That wasn't Martin Luther King's fault that everybody's on Skid Row.
Yeah.
People make personal decisions.
Yeah.
I can't blame that on King.
What I said was his work, even his work today.
Yeah.
Is done for all the work he did.
Yeah.
Nothing.
What would you think if Dr. King visits Skid Row, what would be his reaction?
He'd be sad, he'd be disappointed, and he'd be hurt.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what he did was magnificent. He changed, he helped a lot of people and a lot of lives.
Yeah.
And people are going to do what they're going to do regardless. You're not going to be able to help everybody, but he helped a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of things going for us today that we wouldn't have had if he wouldn't have done what he done. So I think what he did was a good thing.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to come back because we're going to talk about some solutions. It's going to get interesting. Let's go to our community calendar, and then we'll come back and get more into solutions and discussion about the Skid Row area.
This is the community calendar for the month of May, Saturday, May 25th at 4 p.m. Drama Stage Qumran, the Son of Play reading series, in celebration of Memorial Day, present the play, The 101 Club, written by Judith Bowman and Melvin Ishmael Johnson. The 101 Club is about the Freeman Field Mutiny, a series of incidents at Freeman Army Airfield near Seymour, Indiana in 1945. Also on the program is a short play entitled Private Johnson's War, written by Reverend Roosevelt Johnson. This play is about overcoming racism in the Army in the early 1970s. Special musical guests will be Willis and Shantae. The location, the United University Church, USC Fellowship Hall, 817 West 34th Street, Los Angeles, California. This is a free event and all are welcome to attend. A special June event that's coming up, the Roby Theater Company presents Bronzeville, written by Tim Toriyama and Aaron Wolford, directed by Ben Guillory. The dates are June 29th through July 21st. Opening date is June the 29th. Location, the Los Angeles Theater Center, 514 South Spring Street, Los Angeles, 913. For more information, you can contact 213-489-7402. If you have a community calendar that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com, attention Earlene Anthony. The call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our hosts.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Earlene Anthony. Let's continue with one more interview with the students from UCLA, and then we'll get back to our roundtable. The interview is about 3 minutes and 10 seconds.
My name is Amanda Tapia. I'm a first year at UCLA, and I'm a poli-sci major.
Okay. What's your experience on Skid Row so far?
This is my first time here. I'm from LA, so it's a shock for me.
Okay.
My name is Katie. I'm a fourth year, and I study sociology.
Okay.
My name is Annie. I'm a second year psychobiology.
My name is Andrea. I'm a third year English and civic engagement.
Andrea, yes.
Hi, my name is Nick. I'm a fifth year, an English major, an education minor, and this is my first time here.
Okay. Well, it's first time down on Skid Row.
Yes.
My name is Tarai. I'm a fourth year, and I major in philosophy and minor in art history.
My name is Anna. I'm a fourth year geography major, and this is my first time here.
Okay. My name is Daniel, and I'm a fourth year political science major. Yeah. All
right. My name is Felicia. I'm in my last year, and I'm studying accounting.
Okay. My name is Naveen. I'm majoring in physiology.
Physiology.
Yeah.
What year
is it? Fourth year.
Fourth year. Oh, wow. You're about to graduate.
Yes, sir. Since I came in the city of Los Angeles in 2007, and I asked a young lady when I got off the Greyhound bus station, where all the people hang out at? She said, down on Skid Row. And it was 2007 on June the 19th when I got off the bus. I never in my life a city like Los Angeles seen this many homeless people that down on Skid Row, living on the street, living on the sidewalk, and I got to myself, the things I was doing is just like them, and I thank God the Lord delivered me from drugs and alcohol, that I'm in a program that want to help you get a roof on your head and you can move on.
Yeah.
Right next door.
Yeah.
It's a lot of resource.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't want to reach out, but I'm here. I'm willing to help somebody. Every day I'm talking to somebody. I'm willing.
What's your name?
Lloyd.
Lloyd. Yeah. Thank you, Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Valerie. And I've heard of Skid Row, and I had, you know, my opinions about I would come through, but I never would. I would come shopping. But the apartment building that I was living in caught on fire, and I got referred here to the Union Rescue Mission. And I seen all type of things on the streets, and I said, well, Father, God, I'm sitting down here for a reason. Maybe it's to face my fear. But in this community, I didn't see anything but all positive things, regardless to what the habits may be. I've never seen so many people in one community that had so much faith and trust in God. And it really opened my eyes, you know, and so it was like, I'm just a happy camper. You know,
okay.
Jesus didn't have no address. This is Valerie.
Okay, yeah, Valerie. Yeah. Thank you
so
for the comment.
So I appreciate that, you know, and I've seen how the streets have been cleaned up since I've been here.
Okay, yeah, that's some interesting comments. I want to get some comments from the two of you about what they was talking. I thought it was interesting for the individual who had come from the outside at the Greyhound bus station and his view of what he saw, and it sort of a bell rang. He said, yeah. Hey, man, this is the same thing I'm doing. If I don't make a change, I'm going to be in the street suit.
Yeah.
He commented on, and it seemed, especially the young lady, she had it seemed like she got a lot of faith in what she saw around with all the so-called negativity and stuff. She still saw the beauty in it, you know, in the spirituality. Either one of you want to comment? We'll start on comment on it. You want to pick up on it, Joy?
Go ahead.
Shoot, that's a lot to talk about. It's Skid Row.
I said, you know, they got a lot of things happening down here. You know, I don't live down here, but I've been down here.
Mm-hmm.
Started coming down here in 1969, right? And seeing the differences in the time, you know. And this, I mean, you know, to get off the bus, off of a bus from somewhere or some other state, you know, and to see, oh, man, where all these people come from, you know. And I say, it's, you know, you, I mean, that's a shock, you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you can, if you don't get caught up in the hoopla, right, you can come up out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like just like what's his name, Prize.
Yeah, that
came down. Came on, you know, thing. Yeah, that's right. First, I got to find out. First thing he said, first, I got to get me a hustle so I can eat because I can't.
Yeah.
You know, so, and you're using that, but I tell you, you're going to stay away from that, you know, from all the stuff going on. Just stay focused and keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a temporary situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you point, what Reverend Shuler say, if you don't aim at nothing, you ain't never going to hit nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, okay. Did you want to comment and have something?
No, you were just talking about the young lady, and I guess what came to my mind is that, you know, you can have like 10 different people that see something, and they mm-hmm. all have a different perception about what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just goes back to what we're talking about. You know, it's an inside job. Change happens on the inside. We can't control what goes on around us. Mm-hmm. All we can change is what's, you know, our mm-hmm. thought pattern and things like that. We can't really change what goes on around us. So,
mm-hmm. what kind of advice would you give just to individuals that find themselves down there, whether they're a veteran or just an everyday community member who just getting into a program to have the best chance of succeeding? What kind of advice would you give them?
Take God with you.
Mm-hmm.
Get on your knees and pray and cry out for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be the you know, mm-hmm. because if he's for us, can't nobody be against us.
Mm-hmm.
If God is on our side, can't nobody be against us.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to talk to him every day. We got to mm-hmm. talk to him every day and ask him to help us to get through this. Because like I said, once we start getting on the right paths, on the right path spiritually, Satan is going to be angry because he sees us as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to really stay focused and really connect with God, because he is the only one that can get us from point A to point B. I can't do it on my own. If I could have done it on my own, I would have done it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be my suggestion, to make sure that we just connect with that power greater than ourselves to get us from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lee, what advice would you give the persons that just coming, especially the first timers who come down to find themselves down in the Skid Row area, and now they just step into a program, you know, maybe a 9-month program or 12, but to have the best chance of succeeding?
Do the program.
Mm-hmm.
Do the program. Meet some people with a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
right? Meet some people that's doing some things.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing anything, just doing some things, some wholesome, healthy things,
mm-hmm.
right? And like I said, Brother Satan, just pray. You mm-hmm. know, because Prophet Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone.
Mm-hmm.
In the Quran, it said, they do I worship and not they do I seek, mm-hmm. right? That means I worship God. The devil is going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to worship God, right? And he's going to lead me, not something else.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's one thing. We did an interview with Pastor Tony, and we played that interview last week, and he said something that's so interesting to me, and I keep thinking about it. He said the things that you would tolerate, you would never change. And he started giving it some examples. He said, if you can tolerate getting your lunch from a truck or people giving you a sandwich or going to these little outdoor bathrooms and all like that, if you can tolerate that, it would never change. What are your thoughts on that?
It was something that was said. I picked up on it. I think they said that it was Jan Perry who wanted to stop people from, you know, I'm feeding these, all, you know, on the streets, coming down here to feed the people. Because, you know, and I got, and a lot of people didn't like that idea,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think it's a pretty good idea, because man has to learn how to fend for himself. Mm-hmm. If you sit there and you feed and keep giving and giving and giving, I'm going to sit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit there, and if you don't bring it, and if I don't get it, then I'm going to be mad with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, you got to move on.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stay in a program all your life. Mm-hmm. Right, you got to go get a job. You got to save first. You save your little money, get you a job, and when the time to come, you move to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Move on to the next level. I know some brothers that was in the Midnight Mission. They don't stay down. They come down here and work,
mm-hmm.
and they leave here and they go on back home. You know what I'm saying? Life has changed for them people.
Yeah.
But they know it's you got to move on.
Step by step.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let me, we always talk about solutions to the homeless problem. And I'm going to throw it out again, and then I want to discuss it a little. We still got a little time. We believe that the solution to the homeless problem is to make the homeless problem the homeless veteran problem. That's the first step. And then to get the federal government to finance a think tank to come up with some solutions to solve the homeless problem and then roll it out. Roll out this answer for everybody, for all of the homeless. That's a long-range plan. Now, something that we think can happen immediately is that these faith-based organizations, the churches, the masjids, the temple, they can begin to buy or rent all of this empty city property and connect them with their church or their masjid or their temple and begin to take some people off the skid row and bring them back into the community. If they're a Muslim, then bring them to, let the masjid get some of this empty property and begin to put them in and develop some programs for them. If they Christian, let some of these churches, especially these big, huge churches, they got some resources. And a lot of times you can get these empty city properties for just bringing it up to code.
Yeah.
See, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm still looking at it on an individual level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still think it goes down to the individual. I think any individual that really wants to get their life together, they can do it. And until a person really reaches that point to where they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, mm-hmm. ain't no amount of help in the world, they're not going to be receptive to it. Mm-hmm. I know how many people in my past had tried to help me before I was ready,
mm-hmm.
gave me a place to stay, put money in my pocket, and I hadn't made a decision yet that I was ready to change, and it all went to waste.
So the whole thing starts with recovery, starts with you.
Absolutely. It starts with a decision to saying, you know what, I'm sick and tired of that lifestyle. And not just saying it, but really meaning it in your heart and in your mind. That's where I think it starts. I mean.
Yeah. When you think a person recognized that moment, what was it for you that made you recognize that moment that you was ready to make that step? Yeah.
You know, I think it was a combination of things. Mm-hmm. Being locked up in jail, not having anything, always having to depend on other people to support me.
Yeah.
Just a combination of things. And then finally being put in a position to where I would say, you know what, I'm not going to get another chance better than this right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a combination of things. And then just crying out to God and asking for help. It was just a combination of things that happened.
Lee, what are your thoughts on how do a person recognize when it's that time, to put the responsibility that they got to make the first step?
Oh, you know, when you I know a lot of people have been in jails and prisons and they... You know, they said they found God or whatever.
Yep.
God found them. They got him twisted. God found you. You opened up. And you heard him talk to you. Then you knew it was time for you to go to the next. Yeah, keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And now you want to, now you get the help. You know what I'm saying? Because a person can say, I want some help. Usually when a person wants some help, they already know where to go to get the help. You know? They know already. They ain't got to look around for it.
Mm-hmm.
They look around. They already know.
But it's definitely, like Jordan was saying, an individual thing. It starts with each one of the individuals sitting down the skid row to make that change.
Because you can go, you can walk up on one of the missions and get a meal, right? Just as well as you walk in the mission to get a meal, you can walk up in there and say, I want, I'm ready to stop doing what I'm doing, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you can get some help.
Get past that pride and all like
this. This is a world full of people.
Yeah.
And we are social people. We can't, there's information that we'll never know. But we can seek information, right? Usually it's coming from another person. So, you know, I mean, you'll say, hey, if you ever get that urge, you feel funny, you get all twisted up, call me. Before you do anything, just jump on the phone and call me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or I can be a fool and let all that stuff go and try to make it on my own. It's a social world.
Yeah.
You're going to get help from somebody or you're going to basically fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hermes running around here.
You're right about that. Okay, then. We're gonna wind this down. Let me give you a couple of quick closing comments. Here, Jordan, a closing comments that you want to say?
Sure.
Got to the community?
Yeah, you know, like I was saying, the thing that has helped me more than anything in these last 9 months is the personal relationship that I have with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, and opening up that word every morning and getting in that word, you know, because, I just need to thank him right here and right now because of the fruits of the Spirit that are being developed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't have before. I just thank him so much that I can open up that word and feed my spirit on a daily basis with that word, because that's what really transforms us from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to walk around with bitterness, hate, and all that stuff anymore. God has transformed my life as a result of that word in my life every day. So I'm just grateful for that. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. I appreciate that, and God bless you guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can give us about 20 minutes.
I need 20 minutes. Yeah. Down here, as far as the children mm-hmm. concerned, mm-hmm. you need more programs like Positive Black Ministries.
Yeah.
Right? The people need to, the churches need to get involved down here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you said, they can get a building for free. You know what I'm saying? Hey, dude, like I said before, if you follow Jesus, then do what Jesus did. Okay. That's the end of the story right there.
Let me do
that. That's the
now.
End of it. Yeah.
Okay. All right, now, next week on a special Memorial Day report, Qumran report, we will have on the line three military veterans who served during the Vietnam War, my brothers James Johnson and Reverend Roosevelt Johnson from my hometown of Greenville, Mississippi, and Reverend Freddie Johnson, my brother from Memphis, Tennessee. Now, I would like to extend a special thanks to my in-studio guests, veteran Horace Jordan and actor, community activist Lee Shaw. Please listen to past shows of the Qumran Reports on iTunes, Facebook, skidrow.la. And thank you for tuning into the Qumran Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. I leave you with the song that opened the show, Darker Than Blue by Willis and Shantae.
Are we going and let what they said come true? If you get off of me, I get up. If you wanna understand me, I get up. If you really wanna help me, I get up. But in Jesus' name, I'm gonna get up. If you get off of me, I get up. If you wanna understand me, if you really wanna help me, I'll get up. But in Jesus' name, I'm gonna get up. People.